Hi, it's Dara Bunjon, your dining dish with the latest restaurant news here in Baltimore. At the beginning of January, Chef Brian Voltaggio and his partner, Hilda Staples, opened up Family Meals on Pier 4 down at the harbor. I had a chance to chat with them only a couple days after opening. Hilda sits and talks about how she and Brian got together. They were complete strangers and now partners in many, many restaurants here in the Maryland area and soon to be down in Virginia. Brian talks about his passion for No Kid Hungry through Share Our Strength, a charity he supported for well over 10 years, and about the farm-to-table trend, or is it a trend? So sit back, enjoy, and we'll catch up with you soon. Okay, we're here with Hilda Staples, who is partners with Brian Voltaggio in all his restaurants, Volt, Range, Agio, and Family Meal.
Lunchbox.
And Lunchbox. Sorry, I forgot one there. That's a lot. So how did you and Brian get together? And how
I met Brian in 2007, right before the stock market crashed in the mid-2008, I had decided I was pregnant, moved to Frederick, a town I didn't know, and I was staying home with the kids. I had twins. I couldn't work. I was just kind of in this town. I didn't know anyone, and I thought the best way to get to meet the town was to have a bar. And that was my idea. I had worked in corporate PR, worked for Ogilvy, and then I actually worked here in Constellation for about a year or two. About a year.
Were you commuting from Frederick?
I was commuting from Frederick. So first I was commuting from Frederick to D.C., and I couldn't do that. It was too long. Then I started commuting from Frederick to Baltimore, and that was, by that time I was very pregnant. So I did that until I had my kids. And then about 9 months where I decided I'm super bored. I need to do something fun. And decided to, I signed a lease. And I decided I was going to have a bar. And it was just going to be a little dive bar. And just so I could meet the town, get out the house, and do something that I hadn't done before. And then midway through opening this place, I realized I had no idea what the hell I was doing because I had never done anything like it. I read an article about Brian in some random chef magazine. He was working at Charlie Palmer Steak, and there was one line that he grew up in Frederick. So from that, I decided to give him a call. And
how fortuitous, you know, that's.
And it took us about 6 months. I kind of hounded him and stalked him, and he was, you know, he had a job, he had his own family. Him and his wife had just had a baby as well. And he wasn't looking for a new job, and he wasn't going to certainly go and do anything with me. I was just some random woman. I don't know, about 6 months in, just kind of from, like, I just kept hounding him. And he decided to, he called, and he was like, hey, are you still doing this? I was like, yeah, I'm stuck. So that little bar became Volt, and that's where it all started.
Right.
And that's how we met.
He was getting rave reviews.
He was. At Charlie Palmer, and then he decided to leave, and we opened this restaurant together. That's how we met. So it was about 6-7 years ago.
So now do you look back and you say, I have all these restaurants, I'm opening up in Richmond, I'm opening up Family Meal somewhere else in Virginia, I can't think of it.
Ashburn. And then Richmond, Virginia.
And Richmond. And are there more on the way, or are we going to slow down a little bit? What's the story?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, everything. Baltimore happened. We had met one of the people who work at Cordish, and they just had a great space. The space became available. We had a good relationship with them from Agio. And it just kind of, all of our spaces have kind of, we weren't looking for it. It kind of came to us.
Right.
And it's a great concept. It's very accessible. It's friendly to families. The price points are perfect. And people want to go out and eat good food with their kids.
Yeah. Who is the designer? Because when I was in D.C. a couple weeks ago for Star Chefs, and I was at Range and Range Agio, I just thought it was a beautiful spot, the way it was laid out and the design. This has sort of that same feel. Is there one designer that you're
using? No, we don't have a designer. Brian and I just kind of use our own feeling about... we've always liked the natural colors, and we had an architect in on East Street, and we were just kind of trying to go along the same lines, but we don't have a set designer.
No, because, I mean, this spot here on Pier 4 in Baltimore was full of hands, and it was big, and it was mammoth, and it was
very, very hard trying to make this not look like a Houlihan's.
Right.
It was very imposing, and it was just so much, it was just Houlihan's. It was impossible to, we tried very hard without.
You did a really good job. I can't turn my head around. No, it's a nice space, and, you know, I, you know, hope to come, maybe not in 0-degree weather.
I know. We're hoping it'll be nicer. We'll get a lot more families and people just walking by. And we have some paintings and some other design aspects, as well as our signage outside coming.
Yeah, because when I saw Brian a couple weeks ago, he said he wasn't quite sure when they were opening, and the fact that you opened earlier than what was expected.
Yeah.
Which is unusual, because usually you're waiting for, you know, for it to pass inspection.
Yeah.
You know, you can be ready and you're just waiting for that inspector, and it's like,
whatever. We hustled. And, you know, liquor license is always the first thing. And it was, we don't know Baltimore and the procedures, and it was,
we're a little backwater on that. I have to say that, you know, I know because I do some PR for restaurants and getting them open and having to buy it, and the rules that we have here are somewhat antiquated, but hopefully they'll change.
Yeah, well, every city has their own
little quirks.
They do.
I mean, you're D.C., but you're right on the edge of Montgomery County. Montgomery County, from my days, is very restrictive about
that. They are. And, you know, where range is in D.C., and we're right on the border.
Right.
I'm not sure if we would have gone into Montgomery County. It's tough with the liquor laws there.
Very, very tough. Well, Hilda, I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. So nice meeting you again.
Nice meeting you. We are here with Brian Vottaggio at his latest rendition of a restaurant called Family Meal in Baltimore on Pier 4. And I've cornered Brian, or chef, to talk about his favorite charity, No Kid Hungry, through Share Our Strength. Tell me how you got involved, Brian.
So I got involved, it's been almost about 10 years now. I started working for Charlie Palmer, and you know, when I first got back to D.C. and I was in that area and I opened up his restaurant, I was first introduced to the charity again, because I first introduced to New York, and then when I came down here, I started to understand more of the facts. I started to understand that really there's an epidemic in our country where there's children that are actually going to bed hungry every night. Starting off their day at school without enough to eat to actually, you know, go in there nourished, ready to learn. And, you know, as a father now with three children, you know, I felt a need to do more. I felt that I needed to make an impact. I feel as a chef that it's easy for me to feed people. And so I know a lot of people don't, you know, they don't have the means to eat in my restaurants on a regular basis. And so, you know, I wanted to channel some of these efforts towards, you know, making sure that we can have a win-win situation. So I do a lot of dinners at Bolt. I do a lot of, you know, off-site charity events where there are diners who come in who contribute towards this goal, and, you know, I do whatever I can to be that bridge and make it happen and try to put more food out there for children who are in need.
Well, I tell you, you know, I like where I see things going with Chef Ann, and what she's doing to make the meals better in school. The kids are eating food that there are no sodas. Your restaurant Family Meal, it comes back to the source of putting the family around the table, which is important. At least when I grew up, we all sat at the table. There was no TV. There was
when
no
I grew up, you know, we all grew up. I mean, our generation, we sat down, we had dinner together. You know, at 5:30, my mom made sure there was dinner on the table, and we didn't miss that meal, you know, for a lot of reasons. One, we'd be in big trouble, but two, you wanted mom's cooking. And so, you know, I think now more and more, in American families, they're more on the go. And I don't think it's because, you know, people don't know how to cook or don't want to cook or anything like that. There's just not time, you know. Fortunately for somebody who has restaurants, it's kind of a good thing. But also, you got to start thinking about nutrition in the home. And, you know, so I think Share Strength also contributes a lot of education. And it's one thing I really applaud them for is they're not only just out there trying to feed children, they're trying to feed them with nutritious food. You know, they're making headway in schools now. You know, we helped pass some legislation in the state of Maryland where actually no kid, well, hopefully the state of Maryland, the goal is by 2015, end of this year, and no kid will be hungry in the state. You can have breakfast at school, lunch at school, dinner at school, and their summer meal programs. So there should be no excuse for our children in this state to go hungry.
It's, as they say in Yiddish, it's a shunda, it's a shame that any child goes hungry. And not in a, especially in a country where food is so abundant that we're paying people not to grow things.
Right.
So, in speaking with your partner, Hilda, we have the restaurants in Virginia opening up, which are family meal. And I said, what's next after that? She says, I don't know.
Well, you know, a lot of things are inspired by what we feel. You know, Family Meal was born on, we felt it was a need in our community. You know, we felt like there needed to be a restaurant. Not only, I mean, both of us have young families, you know, so we have young children. You know, she has eight-year-old twins. I have a seven-year-old boy and three-year-old daughter, 18-month-old daughter. And so, like, you know, as a cook and a chef, I mean, you don't take your kids to Bold every night for dinner. Plenty of children dine at Bold on a regular basis, but it's a celebratory restaurant. It's not an everyday restaurant. We wanted to create that everyday feeling where you could come in, get really great food, do it at a reasonable price, and have a chef's touch on that. And there's not a lot of restaurants that that are out there in the suburbs that do that. Yes, we brought this one to the city, and we want to do more. We're going to Ashburn, Virginia. We're going to Richmond, Virginia. Beyond that, there might be more too. You know, we have a few more family meals possibly in the works. We'll see.
My last question for you, because I've been putting together a story about trends. So my thing is, what's the next trend? What trend are you happy to see go? What trend should come back?
Well, you know, one thing is I see is this whole, and it's starting to fizzle out, which is fantastic, this whole farm-to-table thing. Okay, so what farm-to-table really is just going back to how it used to be before we forgot about the farmer. And so, you know, as a chef, yeah, it's cool and it's cliche and all the whole thing. Like, okay, you know, we know where our products are grown from. That's how it used to be. That's how it should be. All we're doing is we're going back to how food, you know, was always meant to be, you know. You know, when we arrived in this country, we had to grow our own food. We certainly didn't truck it from California because California didn't exist at the time. You know what I mean? Just think back, way back. And so things got way too convenient. We got too complacent too, I think, and so it's good to see it reset. It's cool, great. You know, here's a trend. Let's dust it. You know, let's throw that thing away now and get back to what food really is. And I'm happy that it was used as a vehicle to get to where we are now. But now it's done. Now we're doing the right thing.
So, anything that you're happy to see go?
Anything to see go? Like out of that whole idea?
No. Well. I'm repeating myself when I sit here and say,
yeah,
kale,
no, I know.
Kale's not my thing.
Well, you know, kale's not my thing, too, but greens are. And so, you know, it's good to see that we're starting to take these hearty greens and use them in new ways. And, you know, it's a part of the table more. But the great thing about it, especially in this region, is that these crops grow in colder months. So kale's abundant now. I mean, this is when it's really great. It's sweet because it's left in the field to the point where the sugars really start to develop in the green and then they're plucked. I mean, this is when Brussels sprouts, well, actually it was a few months ago, but still, I mean, this is when they are their best, you know? And so, you know, they're winter crops. And the great thing about a mid-Atlantic is you can grow things 9-10 months out of the year. And so paying attention to those things is great because it extends our growing season, our seasonality.
I thank you so much. My ride is waiting.
Okay. Thank you.
To wrap for Dining Dish, you can always follow me on social media at Dara Cooks on Twitter and Instagram. Need to reach me? Email me at daracooks@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.